few weeks ago, I heard the story of a really young girl who joined competitive swimming for the very first time. But 2 years into going to competitive swim meets, she had not only never won a race, she actually had come in dead last in every single one. And so kind of in a moment of you know, just trying to inspire her daughter, her mom, right before her next meet, kind of got down on a knee, looked her in the eyes, and just said, "Listen, this meet, I want you to win your race." And this little girl got a really confused look, and her eyes got really, really big, and she said these words to her mom: "I didn't know this was a race. I thought we were just here to meet people. I thought this was just a swim meet." Right? I mean, it's goofy, but here's the thing. If you're a parent, you kind of get this, right? I mean, with some of your kids, you're always trying to get them to kind of see things right. And sometimes they just miss it, right? I mean, they just kind of miss the right perspective and how they're seeing their world. So you're always trying to get them to kind of see from your perspective the right perspective, because here's what you know. You know that if we can get them to see as we see, it's more likely they'll do as we say. Now, this is just a universal truth. This doesn't just apply to parenting. This applies to friendships. This applies to, you know, your work with your coworkers. I mean, this applies to, you know, an aging parent. Some of you are trying to do this right now with a wife or a husband. I mean, you just know if you can get them to see the world the way you see it, it will just change their perspective. Now, on a lighter note, I'm kind of going through this right now with my oldest daughter who just took up golf a few years ago, and now she's playing competitively. So when we go out and play together, I don't coach her swing at all. I'm like not even that. I'm smarter than that now to try to coach her swing. We have a coach to do that. I literally just try to coach her mind. And so I know I sound like a broken record on the golf course, but here's what I'm always saying to her when we're playing. We're on a hole. She's getting ready to tee off, and I just look at her and I say, "What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What angle would you take on this hole? What approach would you take? What club would you hit here? Where can you miss? If you miss right, what happens? Left, short, long?" And I know she's probably tired of it, but I know if I can just get her to see correctly, that's where, even in most athletic events, that's where it's won or lost, is in the mind. And if I can just get her to see the way I see, I know it'll help her make better decisions when she's all alone on the course. Now, here's what I want to ask. Don't you think that God is trying to do that with us in our lives all the time? Just try to get us to see the world correctly through His lens. I think God's doing that all the time, and here's why. Here's why. Because God knows if we could see the world the way God sees it, we'd be more likely to do what He wants in it, always. But our perspective is not always God's perspective. So here's what I want to do today. I want to help you just see something how God sees it that sometimes we just miss or we don't see accurately. It's just one big idea. It's one big idea today I want you to see the way God sees it. And it leads to one big takeaway that I think affects most of us in our rooms today. So if you're taking notes, here's the big thing. I just want you to be able to see the way God sees it today. It's kind of a big statement. It's a big idea. Hang with me. It's this. The local church is the hope of the world. From God's perspective, the local church is the hope of the world. Now, when I say local church, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying just CCV. I'm saying every local church that exists across our globe. There's thousands, you know, from Shanghai to Singapore, from Mumbai, you know, to Malaysia, from New York to Philadelphia to Phoenix to California. There's thousands of local churches. And from God's perspective, the local church is the hope of the world. Now, I realize some of you are here, you don't buy that. And I get that. I mean, you're new to church. You're just still kind of checking this thing out. I don't even expect you to buy into that today. I mean, You came today because someone promised you a free meal or that you'd meet someone cute. I mean, I don't know, right? But you're here. But if you are a follower of Jesus here today, here's what I'm going to ask. Do you believe this statement? And if you don't, it just begs the question, What do you think is going to bring about hope in a world that, can't we all agree, desperately needs it right now? And if you don't believe it's a local church, maybe where you kind of gravitate towards for hope, and I don't mean to be funny with this first one, but I'm going to go through a list. Maybe you gravitate towards like politicians or policy. Maybe you think like if we just got the right politician in office or we just had the right policies, like that would change our world. Maybe you think it's business. Maybe you think we just need more jobs in our world and that would bring about a ton of hope. Or maybe it's media. Or some of you would say it's education. Like we just need to educate people more. Like people are just, you know, they're not educated enough. Or maybe for some of you it's a nonprofit. Like, hey, if we just had, you know, this nonprofit that was like doing great stuff. Or maybe for you it's arts and entertainment. Like if Hollywood just kind of got their act together. Well, probably not that one. But hey, you know, who knows where you gravitate towards, right? And here's what I want you to know. These can be powerful elements in our world. They are powerful elements in our world, every single one of them. But they're not the source of hope for our world from God's lens. The source of hope in our world is Jesus. You know what changed our world overnight? Is if we had more Jesus-centered leaders in every single one of these areas. How is that supposed to happen? That's where I want you to just see today, littered all throughout Scripture, God's plan for sharing his son Jesus with this world. Do you know what plan A was? Plan A was the local church. That's all throughout Scripture. It's the local church. Now, if plan A didn't work, you know what God's backup plan was? Plan B? Here's what plan B was. Refer back to plan A. In other words, there is no plan B outside the local church, none. Now, I want to read you something that Jesus said. This is profound. Listen, this is the words of Jesus. Jesus said this. He was talking to his disciples, Matthew 16, verse 18. He said, this is Jesus, will build my church. Do you understand how big that statement is? Jesus is the one that said he will build the church. Some people think the church is a man-made organization. It's not. It was Jesus' idea from the very get-go. And he's the one that will build it, and he's the one that will sustain it worldwide. Listen to what he says right after this. This is profound. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. What? The church. Even hell can't conquer what Jesus created to share who he is. Now, some of you read a book written by Jim Collins years ago. It's an amazing business and leadership book. If you haven't read it, I really suggest it. It's called Built to Last. It's a study of what allows some companies and organizations to last over others. Here's what Jesus is saying in this verse. There's only one organization that's going to be built to last forever. The only organization that will last forever is the local church. That's it. Like, period. And again, you know, maybe you buy that, maybe you don't. But think about this. Throughout history, there have been empires that nobody thought would go away. And you know what they are today? They're distant memories we read about in a history book. I mean, even huge multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporations that nobody saw coming that they would ever go away are now, non-existent. I mean, I'll just give you one example. 20 years ago, no one predicted that Lehman Brothers would no longer exist today. And yet, in the middle of the financial crisis, they were worth over $600 billion. And you know where they are today? They're gone. In the next 5 to 10 years, there will be 2 to 3 big box retailers that nobody thought was going to go away. They'll be gone. And you know what I hope happens? I'm praying for this. I hope they sell their buildings to local churches. I do, and here's why. Because I believe with everything inside of me that the local church is the hope of the world. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, I'd encourage you to maybe read this week. In Ephesians, chapter 5, here's what Paul tells us about the church. So descriptive. He says, number one, Jesus is the head of the church, right? Jesus is the head of the church. He says this, then Jesus loves the church, and this last one's so descriptive to me. He says, Jesus calls the church what? His bride. That's amazing to me because if you know any good husband he loves, who's he love the most? His bride. And would he ever let someone like mistreat his bride? No, never. Jesus loves the church. He created the church. He's going to sustain the church. He calls the local church his bride. So here's what I want to do for just the little bit of time we have together today. I just want to talk specifically to those of you that would say two things. One is you would say, I believe in the local church. And two, you would say this. And I only want to talk to you, those of you that would say this. I love my church. I love my church. You would say, man, when I pick up my kids from the kids build, from the kids programming, I can't believe how much they learn. It's unbelievable. Or some of you, you picked up your teens from camp this summer, and they got off the bus, because some of you told me this, and you said, Ashley, when I got them off the bus, they were a different person. I love my church. Some of you would say this, this church has changed my life. It's brought me back to in my faith, or it saved my marriage. Some of you are like, man, I don't know where our marriage would be at today if it wasn't for this local church. Some of you, you know, are single, and you would say, this church is my anchor every single week, every single week. Some of you are in college, or you're a young adult, and you're like, this church is my foundation. It just keeps me grounded in my faith, and then I go back to this environment that's really, really tough for me. You know, some of you, you'd say something like this. Some of you are older, you're retired. Here's what you'd say. Man, I hate the music around here. You do. I mean, you want us to get our dB levels checked all the time. You're like, it's too loud. But here's the thing. You will put up with anything if it reaches your kids and your grandkids, and you see the impact this church is making all around you. Some of you ladies right now, you cannot believe that you can finally get your husband or boyfriend to come to church. Like, you can't believe it. It's unbelievable. Or some of you, you invite your friends to church, and when you show up, it's so clean, and the programs are so excellent, and the music's awesome, and the preaching's like average at best, but it's okay. And so, like, man, you just love your church. I just want to talk to those of you today that just love your church. Now, that's not everybody. Some of you, you're like on a first or second date, all right? You're looking across the table, and you're like, I like what I see, but I'm not in love. And I get that too. I'm not talking to you. You get to sit back and relax today. I just want to talk to those of you that say, I believe in the local church, and I actually love this church. I want to ask you a question today, and I think it's a really, really fair question. Okay, here's a question I want to ask. Do you have a plan to financially support the church you love? Do you have a plan to financially support the church you love? Now, here's why I think this is such a critical question. Here's why. Because, and some of you are going to have a hard time believing this. Because 67% of the people that come to CCV that say, I love my church, they're plugged in, they're regular, they're all in, they drop their kids off. 67% of people that come to CCV do not have a plan to support their local church. Now, here's what I mean when I say plan. I don't mean that you come and you kind of drop a 5 or a 10 or kind of whatever in your wallet. I mean, you've predetermined in advance, like, here's how I'm going to support my church, weekly or biweekly or monthly. That's what I mean when I say, do you have a plan? And I think it's a super fair question if you love your church. Like, do you have a plan? Now, when I see a number like 67%, I'll just be honest. My first thing is, like, it kind of hurts my feelings. I'm like, man, for all we do around here, you know, I'm kidding. I don't think that at all. Okay, you can laugh a little bit. We start talking about money, everyone gets all like tense, you know. Some of you are like, I brought my friend on this weekend. Why did I do that? But hey, if you're that friend, listen, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person who invited you, who said, you're going to love my church. When you leave today, you get to ask them, are you a part of that 67%? This could get awkward, but you can poke a little bit right at your friend. But isn't this a fair question to ask? Now, listen, I've been doing this long enough. The 67% number, it doesn't really surprise me, okay? This is kind of like the average in churches in America. But here's the thing. We don't want you to be average. We don't want you to come to an average church. So I want to dig into, do you have a plan? Why wouldn't you have a plan to financially support your local church? I think maybe there's two reasons. There's probably more than this. I just want to talk to you about two. The first reason is this. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. In other words, some of you would say this. I've just never thought about it. And I think that's totally fair. Some of you literally, like, just never thought about it. And here's one reason why. Because we don't, Like, one of the most surprising things about CCV, and some of you don't believe this, but I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. We hardly ever talk about money. Now, some of you don't believe this. I actually walked into a restaurant a couple years ago, and I had a CCV shirt on. I had the CCV on the sleeve. And I was getting, like, my soda at the fountain right there. And two girls were sitting off to my right, and they didn't know I could hear them. But I heard what they were saying, and they said, "Hey, you see that guy's shirt? See the CCV logo?" The girl's like, "Yeah." She goes, "That's a church. You know what it stands for?" And the girl's like, "No, what's it stand for?" She said, "It stands for cash, check, or Visa. That's what it stands for." And I was like, "Wow, I can hear you right now. I don't know if you know that." But that's what people think. So I did the math for us, okay? I looked back 3 years. I looked at 3 years of sermons. Do you know what percentage of the time we preach on this topic? It's about 5% of the time. In other words, 95% of the time when you show up to CCV, you don't hear a mention about this topic, ever. I mean, listen to this. We don't even take an offering. Some of you don't even understand how unbelievable that is. Do you understand? We're one of the only churches in the country and in the world that doesn't take an offering. I talk to my pastor friends, and I tell them, "We don't take an offering." They look at me like this. "Oh, what are you doing? Why wouldn't you do that?" Now, we used to. Some of you remember this, okay? We used to take an offering. Worship leader would get up, and they'd be like, "Now we're going to take the offering." And so all of a sudden, like, a bucket. Some of you remember the bucket we used to pass around? Do you remember this? This bucket would come around, and it would come really, really quick past you, and you get the bucket, and you look inside. I know you looked inside. I did too, you know? You look inside, and you'd be like, "That's disgusting. Why would you put that in there, you know?" But, hey, you're smart people. You looked inside, and here's what you thought. Something's going on around here. Because there is no way this is paying for all this. I mean, you look at the lights and you look at the cameras and you look at the kids' ministry and the buildings, you're like, something's going on around here. I mean, have you ever thought that before? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I thought it every week. I was like, how's this going to pay for all this? Now listen, there's no magic tree in the back growing money. We don't get a dime. Some people think this. We don't get a dime from some outside denomination or outside organization. Literally, what you see at CCV, everything you see, is literally 100% funded by 33% of people around here that have a plan to support the church they love. And everything you see, how excellent it is, the reason it's so excellent is because we are judicious about stewarding every single dollar that comes in. And one of the reasons we stopped passing the offering years ago is because we didn't want to ever put up a barrier for anybody coming to our church to hear about Jesus, ever. And another big reason is we knew, a lot of people, they don't give, cash or checks anymore. Everyone gives online. And we knew the best way for you to have a plan to consistently support your church was to give online. And that's the way 80% of people that actually support CCV actually give. And that's what my family does. I mean, literally, it takes about 5 minutes. You get on the app or you can get online. You can get online to this website, ccv.church/give. It takes you about 5 minutes. You can set up a reoccurring gift every week, every 2 weeks, every month, however you want to do it. But it's the easiest way to have a consistent plan to support your local church. But honestly, some of you, you're sitting there going like, "I never thought about doing that." You just have never thought about it. Now you have. I just helped you out. Now, probably the second reason that people, I think this one's bigger, that a lot of people don't have a plan to support their church they love is this. This church doesn't look like it needs it. I mean, let's be honest. Some of you have been to churches that look like they need it. I mean, you walk in, you know it, right? The roof's falling apart. You walk in the kids' building, the carpet's like 50 years old. It smells. I mean, stuff's falling apart. And then, every time someone gets up on stage, that's all you hear about. We need it. We need it. We need it. So you got kind of tired of that. So you came to one of our churches. And you showed up at one of our campuses, and you looked around, and here's what you thought. Look like they're doing just fine without me. Doesn't look like they need it. This looks like a well-oiled machine. And so you thought, they don't need it. And you actually kind of love that about CCV. You love that when you come and you don't hear anybody, people pounding you all the time for money. I mean, you actually love it. and you actually kind of thought, you know what? It doesn't seem like they need it at all, so I don't need to give. Now, if that's where you're at, and if you've tuned out, if you've tuned out because we're talking about money, I need you to tune back in for just a moment. All eyes up here. This is so big, okay? Because I want to talk to you about how irrational this thought process kind of becomes when you think, like, they don't need it, so I'm not going to give. Here's how the rationale goes, right? It goes like this. You don't want to attend a church that always needs your money. You don't. Some of you have been a part of those churches. Everything's falling apart. You don't want to, you're not attending a church like that. You're attending CCV. Now listen, but when it comes to CCV, you don't give to a church that looks like they don't need your money. That's us. So here's the dilemma you're under. What you're basically saying is you never plan to give to a church you actually attend. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. You don't. Now, what are we supposed to do with that? I mean, there's only a couple options. I mean, one, we could get all the campus pastors together tomorrow, and I could say, listen, guys, we got to create a crisis around here. Like, forget your budgets, forget being responsible. Everything we've taught you about leadership and stewardship, throw it out the window. Spend us into oblivion so we have a crisis. Then I can get up on stage, and I can sit down in front of all you, and I can go, now, folks, friends, you know. Do you love it when the pastor says friends? You're thinking like, man, does he think everyone's their friends? What's that? What does that mean? Friends, do you care about babies? You know, I could tell some sad stories. I would come up with some sad stories. Do you want to walk down the kids' classroom and do you want us to be able to change diapers? Do you want to smell poop all the time? Huh? What do you want? Do you want us to close the doors of the kids' building and lay off all the... I mean, I could tell some sappy stories. But here's the thing. That would get so old to you. You'd be so frustrated after a while. You don't want to go to a church like that. I mean, think about your own personal life. I mean, let's just get really personal. Do you like going to places and doing business with businesses that need your money or businesses that provide great goods and services? What do you like? Come on. A couple years ago, when Circuit City was going out of business, they were going bankrupt, did you get all your friends and family together and say this? Listen, they need our money. Do not go to Amazon anymore. Don't go to Fry's. Forget Best Buy. We're buying all of our electronics from Circuit City because they need our money. No, what'd you do? Stinks to be them. That's what you said. I mean, that's how we are. So here's the question. Why would you financially support Disney, Apple, or Chipotle more than the church you love? Come on, hey, come on. When your marriage hits a bump on the road, you gonna call Mickey? Hey, when your teen starts going sideways, I'm being serious. When your child just goes out of control, you gonna take them to the Apple store, kind of belly up at the Genius bar and go, hey, can you help this little guy right here? You gonna go to Chipotle and give him another burrito? No, you're gonna turn to the church you love, and rightfully so. And here's what's so cool, so amazing, and this will never change. When you drop your kids off at our kids' ministry, when you call for help, we do not check your giving record, ever. Do you know why? It's irrelevant. Our mission is to reach this valley for Jesus Christ, and our mission for you is that Jesus would transform your life whether you give a dime here or not. Does not matter. It doesn't. Doesn't. But here's the thing. Here's the kicker. We actually need the other 67% of you to come up with a plan of how you're going to financially support the church you love. And listen, it's not because we need that to open the doors tomorrow. It's not so we can pay our utility bill. Listen, you may not know, you know what our utility bill is. Let me give you some perspective. I don't know what yours is every month. Yours might be $300, $400, $500. I'm not sure. You know what our utility bill is? Just turn the lights on and do electric around here. $108,000 a month. You're like, how could that be? What, are you wasting money around here? No. You turn lights on and you air condition over 500,000 square feet of buildings all across this valley. And listen, we don't need the other 67% of you so we can provide snacks and crafts to your kids when you pick them up. Do you know what it costs us to do snacks and crafts for kids every month? $43,000. Some of your moms are like, no way, no way. You're thinking about buying goldfish for two people. You do that for 8,000 kids a weekend. It adds up. That's not why we need the other 67% of you. We need the other 67% of you because, listen, we believe with everything inside of us that the local church is the hope for this valley. It's the only way we're going to change our city. And listen, we're a church that's never, ever going to stop building, expanding, and growing until every single person in our city has heard the message of Jesus Christ. Ever. We won't. But hey, all I want you to know, that's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. Because we truly believe, the local church is the hope of the world. I want to show you a couple that believes that same thing in our church. Just listen to their journey on this topic. I think it might impact you. Watch this.
That very first message was, you know, I sat there by myself. The music was amazing. I was really into it. I was feeling it. Then the message started, and it was, of course, tithing. And from that point, my thought was like, all right, I'm out. Like, this is not for me. I don't think I made it even 10 minutes into the message. Thankfully, I was pretty close to the back, so I didn't have to, like, do the walk of shame all the way down, but you know, it was right in the middle of the message that I just left. You know, at that time in my life, I kind of thought I had it all figured out, and I would tell my mom, you know, like, I believe in God, but I'm more of a person of faith. I don't believe in the church. I don't believe in what they stand for. And so that message really, I held it pretty tight because it solidified every argument that I had made to her about why I didn't need to be part of a church.
I know for me as a mom, you know, to bringing our kids to the childcare since, I mean, our daughter was an infant, and, you know, fast forward years later and you're still taking them to the kids ministry and you're seeing these awesome crafts they do and they're talking about God. And for me, I just started feeling, why are we not supporting this ministry? Why would I drop my kid off and say, go ahead and raise them in Christianity, but I'm not going to give you a dime? To me, I would hear the message as, you know, the church asking for money, but I know now they weren't asking for money. God is asking for our heart. And I know it's not a money thing, it's a trust thing.
We started tithing in May of 2012, and then that was after another message by the same guy that I walked out on. It was Pastor Don gave a message, and
he redeemed himself,
yeah. And I could see very clearly now that that first message that I walked out on was the first message that I was exposed to on purpose. And I think that last hurdle of giving the trust to him with our finances was, he was like, this is the one thing you guys have to accomplish before, you know, you're really gonna see your journey with me grow. And it was almost instantaneous that we just felt so compelled with everything that we were doing, and then we got baptized in July.
So 2012.
And from that point forward, it's just been, you know, life-changing. Our life was just, it was going along great. All of the promises that the Bible gives us, we were living them. We got into a position where we were paying off debt, and then the next real step, I think, would be when we did the sacrificial gift, when we had the challenge to raise the $5 million in one weekend, and we had to sit down and have that conversation. And
for me, you know, being the bill payer, I'm like, okay, how much are we talking here? I need to know an amount so I can balance the checkbook.
Right.
Again, not going about it right at all.
And so we sat down and I told her what I was thinking. She just said,
no, there's no way. I want to give, but the amount he was talking seemed crazy to me, and I really was going to Google like early midlife crisis. I thought, this is it. Like, he's going through it really early. I know it's a thing, but I feel like he's having it really early. So I mean, bless his heart. I wanted to get behind him, but I just didn't like the amount.
I was like, look at the 1 year, you know, maybe a year and a half, the amount of blessings that we've been given just by making that commitment to tithe, you know, a year and a half ago. This is our next step. This is, you know, we're being pushed. We need to get uncomfortable with this.
And then I couldn't help it, because seeing how excited he was again, I was just so proud of him and really inspired by his heart to give that much. I went from, heck no, midlife crisis, no check, to I could not wait to give the check. It was like after the service, we held hands and carried the check together up to the stage and gave that check and just cried. It was like just a complete surrender.
Yeah.
That gift was emotional as well, knowing that that would help expand the surprise campus where his sister, our family, went. Also opened two new campuses. So we just kept, you know, having people we didn't even know on our hearts that could experience a home church like we had.
Right.
I'm not sure that I would say I had full confidence that you were leading our family spiritually until you convinced us to give the sacrificial gift. I mean, since then, he is the spiritual leader of this family, and it makes me love him more every day and just know that God will provide and that I have a husband that leads our family.
Yeah. I want to show you just a couple pictures. This is a picture of our Peoria campus when it was just dirt almost 20 years ago. Aren't you glad that there was a group of people, just like Michael and Candace, that had a plan for how they were going to financially support their church? And you look at what God has done at our Peoria campus over the years. I mean, some of you shudder to think where you'd be without this church. Then we began to expand across the valley. You know, this is a picture of our surprise campus. You know, Peoria built, it's our surprise campus. We opened, it cost millions and millions of dollars to open this campus. And then after surprise, we opened our Scottsdale campus. People's lives began to be changed in Scottsdale. And after Scottsdale, we opened our East Valley campus. And after the East Valley campus, we opened our Anthem campus. And then we decided in Anthem we were going to go down to the Avondale area. We opened Avondale, and it's been blowing up down in Avondale. And after Avondale, we opened our Midtown campus. Midtown is just doing incredibly well. And then later this year, we'll open our 8th campus down in Chandler. It's coming soon. And listen, every single time, yeah, it's exciting. Every single time we open a campus, it costs us between $3 and $4 million just to open a campus. The room you're in right now, the seat that you're sitting in right now, is only there because of the 33% of people that said, I'm going to have a plan to financially support the church I love. And there's people all across this valley that they catch the vision. They know that we're never going to stop. We're never going to stop until we reach this entire city and even around the world with the message of Jesus Christ. We're not going to stop. Listen, there's some of you here today. There's one or two individuals sitting right now in one of our campuses. You could fund our next campus launch. You could. You could drop a $2 or $3 million check, and it wouldn't even faze you. And if that's you, You call me, okay? You call me. Okay. Well, listen, it's not them. We need everybody. We need the other 67%. It's going to take all of us to continue to reach this valley. If I showed you the roadmap right now we're looking at, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind because we're not done. We're never going to be done. So the takeaway today is this. Come up with a plan to financially support the church you love. And again, there's some of you, man, you're here. You're new. You're still checking out church. This does not apply to you. You keep coming week after week and don't feel any pressure to ever give. Our church exists for you. I'm talking to every follower of Jesus in the room today, every Christian that says, I love my church. Would you simply come up with a plan for how you're going to financially support the church that you love? And here's what some of you are going to ask. Well, what should my plan be? What should my plan be? Well, you've heard enough teaching probably over the years, but I'll just get really, really personal, okay? I'm going to just give you my plan, Jamie and I's plan, our financial plan. We came up with this plan in January of 2003, and we have never once wavered from this plan. It's so simple. This is just our plan. I'm not saying this has to be your plan. This is just our plan. Number one, we will never give less than 10% of our income to the local church, ever. And God has honored that man for almost 15 years. Here's number two. Every time our income increases, we will give an increasing portion of our income above 10% to the local church and other worthy Christian organizations. And we've been doing that for 15 years. And some of you know that God has given us the ability to give significantly above 10%. Now, that's just our plan. You come up with your own plan. But here's what I tell you. Just make sure your plan financially expresses in your giving your gratitude to a God who's given you everything. So takeaway is very, very simple. What's your plan? I want to go all the way back to the beginning of the message. I believe with everything inside me that if you could see through God's eyes the way he sees our world, and if you could see that the local church is truly the only hope for our world, I believe that would compel you, it would motivate you, you wouldn't even be able to go to sleep tonight without developing a plan for how you're going to financially support the church you love. And if every single one of us did that, do you understand what would happen? We would change our city and reach our city for Jesus Christ like that. That's our vision. That's our mission. I believe it can happen in our lifetime, but it's going to take every single one of us. So if you're a follower of Jesus here today and you love your church, I'm just asking you, would you come up with a plan to support everything God's doing around here? I'm going to pray that you will. Let's pray. Father, I know topics like this make some people uncomfortable, but I just pray that we would see through your eyes. We'd see that you don't want something from us, God. You want something for us. You want us to be able to look at our lives through your eyes, through your lens, not look at we're here only a speck of time on this earth, God. And the only thing we're going to do that really matters is invest in people, invest in changed lives, invest in sharing your son, Jesus, with others all around us. And God, thank you that you came up with the plan for how that should happen best, and that's the local church. And for any of us here today that have just struggled, for whatever reason, coming up with a plan, would you give us the courage and the tenacity to even go home today and to be able to come up with a plan? And as we do, God, would we just see you work in ways that only you can? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.